everybody. Welcome to this week's healing meal. Hope all that's alright. I haven't checked it, so let's hope the sound is okay and the microphone's okay. And all is well. All is well. Hello. How are you? Here comes Jesus. Alrighty then, let's get started, shall we? I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. Okay. Jesus, what are you up to today? Will we ever figure you out, Lord? No, never. Never. You could have all the knowledge you like. He's good too, you know? He'll give all the knowledge. There you go. If that's what you want. Go for gold. Figure it out. Still not gonna get anywhere. Man, I was looking at some stuff last night. And my daughter just came out, and yeah, can have all the knowledge, but it doesn't make any difference. How are you going to go back? No wonder people's been using therapy. You can go back, you know what, 20 years to try and rectify all those issues. It's not gonna happen. Thank God Jesus just comes in and he fills you, you know. I was looking at this stuff. Look at this hair right there. There's a hair on my nose. Delilah. There's a hair on my nose. Just wait, I'll be back. I do apologize. Sorry, my daughter came out. And you have to attend to your children. You know what it's like. God knows what it's like. Man, I was reading some stuff. It's depressing reading some of that stuff. You think, hey, I didn't meet any of that stuff. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, like, you can have all the knowledge. But without the Spirit, it's useless. You need the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God. And this is the beauty, right? So you can have all the knowledge. You can go to therapy for 8 years. And out of that, there's no possible way that knowledge is going to be able to fix the mess of your past. Anyone that comes to Jesus has a messy past. You don't just come to Jesus because it's a good idea. If you do that, then, I don't know, a lot of people are raised with Jesus, but Jesus is with those with the broken and contrite spirit, right? Those who are desperate, the sinners, not the people that are fixed up, but the sinners that need help, that have got a bad, messed up life. Jesus comes in to fix that. Everyone's got it, but not everybody's willing to admit it. You know what I mean? Because you can have all the right knowledge, and that's including the knowledge of Christianity or including the knowledge of the scriptures. It's including all knowledge. So you can have all knowledge. And then you can try to wear that on the outside, but bring it to your own personal life, how to apply it. It's a whole different story, you know? And like with looking at the stages of psychology and how, you know, they judge whether or not if you've met these stages, then you've achieved these virtues and characteristics in your life. And it's, well, no, didn't achieve any of those. I was too busy being rebellious out there in the world and totally missed all of that, you know, because you have all that, you know, if the world's messed up, humanity's messed up. Everybody, there's no exception. It's all the way down. And the only one that can fix it is Jesus, hence why we've got a Savior. That's why he came, to give us the healing we require. And his healing's oil, it's spirit, and it goes into your body and it fills. Right, so you got all the words that say, okay, I need to have all these achievements. But Jesus comes into your body supernaturally and just fills those areas, right? I could never go back and learn all the things that I was meant to learn between the ages of 6 and 12. Or even, well, that even that, right? You know, how much trauma and abuse do people go through these 2 years? I mean, look at the world now. I mean, these little kids, what are we going to counsel them for the next 30 years of their life to try to overcome the trauma that they've experienced? You know, he's the great counselor, the Bible says. But what's happened is we've received all this knowledge, so now we think we know. And we think we've got all the answers. And it's not the case. And knowledge is a fruit. It's there. We have it, right? Knowledge, I'm not saying that knowledge is not good. But knowledge can't do what Jesus can do. Knowledge doesn't fix anything. Knowledge just puffs up and thinks that you can do everything. And then it just takes greater humility to be able to say, okay, now I've learned all that, right? But even though I know all that stuff, I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to go low and allow Jesus to be the leader, Jesus to be the knowledge, Jesus to be the wisdom, Jesus to be the ruler through my life. And who he places in my life is who I'm going to honor, or who I'm going to work with, or who I'm going to be in relationship with, you know, according to the will of God that's coming through my life. You follow that will. We're obedient to that will. And like with Jesus, it's like we serve him out of love. There's two different control. There's two different ways of serving. And you can see that with the Lord. You got the devil's kingdom where there's just no discipline, right? There's no discipline. There's no obedience. You can do what you want. It looks fun. You can have all the good time you like, right? And you see that through leadership right through society. Anybody can just say they're a leader and they can influence you to come into their little church group or whatever group. Well, church group, because we're talking to the bride of Christ here. Because the bride of Christ isn't under the dominion and the leadership of Jesus. She's under the leader and the dominionship of who she chooses, of what she feels like doing, what's convenient for her this week, who she feels like following, what teaching she feels like drinking and eating, what she wants to do, rather than what Jesus tells her to do. Okay, and so just because there's a pulpit and just because they're telling you some information, it doesn't make them a leader unless it's ordained by God. And a lot of that is man-made ordination, and man-made ordination is not anointed. And because of the anointing will actually tell you the truth, it will break off lies, and it will bring order and alignment and humility and power. Because that's where the power is. You don't have any power unless there's an authority. You have no power and authority, which means your words aren't performed unless you've come into divine order, which means Jesus is the leader. He's your Lord. He's your Lordship. He's the headship. And now you obey his words. You do his will. You live out the way he lived. You follow his ways and his commandments for your life. Right? And that is what brings you power, because you've humbled yourself and you've submitted your life to his life, your life to his will. And now at whatever cost, you will follow him. But just because somebody is, you know, has a title of some sort of apostolic leadership, or they come in some sort of a network and they think of themselves as a leader, or even they could be pastoring a church. But I've seen people pastor churches and they've got a certificate in a week, right? And now they're pastoring a church because the certificate says they can pastor the church. And some of that information that they're learning in that week, other people are taking 4 years to study it. So they're trying to cram it all so they can get more of them out there. But it's man-made. Because there's no authority and there's no power, because God's like, I didn't pick them to be my apostles and prophets. God calls the apostles and prophets, and the Holy Spirit disciples his apostles. The Holy Spirit disciples his apostles and his prophets. That's how the Holy Spirit does that. So there's great obedience and submission and authority, because they've got to bring authority and order into the earth realm at all costs. And so those leaderships, you can tell, I mean, if it's the anointing, the Holy Spirit will draw you in and have you learn from that person who God has put there for you to learn. But in a lot of these churches, they've got a lot of stuff going on the outside to draw you in. Good music, entertainment, animal farms. What? Come on. I mean, the entertainment's huge. I mean, it's what we do. I mean, we go to fairs, we go to the markets, we go to different types of different activities that the community put on for the world. Community events. They're not Christians. They just have community events to draw in a community. Well, these churches are doing the same thing, to draw in a community. But that's not by the Spirit. That's by human effort. Let's try and put something on and create a big entertainment industry so we can entertain the people. And they come for the entertainment. They don't come for the discipleship. They come for a little bit of word, because then they're delusional and they're actually deceived and they think they're getting something. But they're coming for all of that, the entertainment and the get-together. And it's sorcery, because what it does is it's using this stuff to draw in a community, and that's not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord, he does the drawing. He brings you. And how does he do it? By their heart. If your heart wants the truth, if your heart is searching for God, if your heart wants the Lord, if you want God to be fulfilled and his will fulfilled in your life, if there's nothing else in your heart that's important except him, then he will bring you in for discipleship to learn the way of the Lord and to bring you in to the kingdom, which means to pour his spirit into your vessel, to fill you with the glorious gospel, which is the anointing of God himself, and to disciple you and discipline you so you know the way of the Lord, so you know the correct path, so you can never stray. And he will lead you perfectly. You know, I was told he will lead me perfectly in my ministry. And I was like, are you sure? Because I certainly don't know what I'm doing here, right? And that's how it should be. But so many are coming into the ministry and they're like, they're going and they're learning how to do ministry before they're called to the ministry. And then they're going into the ministry to try and be ministers. And you're like, hang on a minute, how are you going to follow the lead of the Spirit or the call of God if you haven't been called in? If you haven't heard the call? You know, if you've got a call, you can go anywhere, you can do anything, because you trust and you obey and you're faithful to it. So it's about obedience to his voice and his spirit, not going out there to try to get all the right things in place before you do it. He will call you and then lead you into get what you need to do and what you need to go through. And he'll take you into places, because you get authority every time you go through things. He'll take you into places I mean, if you have that Spirit of God in you, he'll take you to wherever. Your life becomes a testimony to the world. Your life, you're the anointing himself. Wherever you go, you're taking Jesus in, and then order has to be done in that place. Regardless of anybody's opinion or their plans or their programs, order comes upon that house. Order comes upon, he says, wherever you go. But then wipe the dust off your feet and then take the peace with you if they reject you. But if they receive you, leave your peace there, he says. But order will come. That alignment comes, right? Alignment comes. And blessed are those who are not offended by God. Blessed are those who are not offended by the ways of God and the way he does things. And the way that he brings order. And he does it perfectly with love. And this is the thing that, you know, this is what we miss, is the love. I mean, you can't force your authority. You can't force people to follow you. You can't force people to learn from you. Jesus didn't do any of that. He just declared the gospel, declared his teachings, and he walked. And those who wanted him followed him. He called them and they followed. Because if you're called by God, you follow his ways. You're not trying to do your own thing. And you humble yourself no matter what it takes, no matter what it looks like. And as I said, there's order. So, and submission. And that brings humility, and that's what gives you authority and power. But some people want to force their authority or force their opinion, and that's why, or it's manipulative, right? Or they're lying and trickery to try to bring you like that, and that doesn't bring any love. There's no real love there. It's false. It's not real. And Jesus is all about serve me with your heart, right? How can you serve with your heart if you're not real? Like, so he's real with us. He's loving. He's real. He tells us the truth. And then we serve them. We serve him because we love him. And whoever he comes through and in our lives, it's all about love. It's not about trying to serve because we're meant to. Because they tell us that we've got to serve because we're in this group. We serve because of love, and we're obedient to love. And when you're obedient to love, God himself, Christ in you, when you're obedient to that, you're obedient to who he places in your life. But it's a submission of love from love. It's not fake, you know? You know? And so there's no offense. And every time we get offended about who God's using or how he's using them or how he comes through them. It's not about even using, because that sounds so Christian. It's about how he comes through people. It can be offensive because of the way, and if you're just an empty vessel for Christ, he's going to come through you. And people, well, it said in Matthew that the religious people got offended at Jesus, right? Matthew... Matthew, and the people became offended and they began to turn against him. How did he get all this revelation and power? He says, isn't he just this guy? Where did this man get such great wisdom and miraculous powers? Isn't he the woodworker's son? Isn't he Mary's, the mother of Mary? Doesn't he have four brothers, right? These four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude, right? They were all Jesus's brothers. And they became disciples of Jesus. And they submitted their lives to Jesus. And they learned from the teachings of Jesus, right? Because he was the one out of the family that got anointed. And then they became disciples. And because they became disciples and they learned the ways, they become anointed. They were anointed, but they submitted and they followed the ways of the teachings of Jesus. Right? There's an order that needs to be followed. And then they said, and then all the people became offended and they turned against him. But I like this in Philippians, and I'm going to read it. Philippians 1:10, and then we'll start preaching. Just joking. Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! All right. Paul says, I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase more and more until it overflows, bringing you into the rich revelation of spiritual insights in all things. And with this revelation, you'll come to know God fully as he imparts to you the deepest understanding of his ways. So as you come to know God, he's going to impart to you, right? As you come to know him with the revelation. So the revelation what? The rich revelation of spiritual insight in all things. So you will see the Spirit working in all things and through all things. And through this spiritual insight, this revelation that you start to see the Spirit of God working in and all through all things, you're going to get the deep revelation of the Spirit, right? And through that, you're going to come to know God as He starts to fully impart to you the deepest understanding of His ways. So He reveals Himself through all things for you, so you can have a revelation that this is the Spirit of God at work. It's not the spirit of every other spirit. This is the Spirit of God that He's revealing to you. Many awaken and then they start to go and chase all different other types of teachings. And He's like, well, let them go, because that's only going to give them knowledge. They're not going to now get the impartation of the deepest revelation and the understanding of His ways unless they follow My ways fully. But many don't follow His ways fully. Now listen to this. I like this. This is what He was saying. He says, so He imparts to you the deepest understanding of His ways, okay? Because He reveals Himself, the Spirit, through all things. We start to wake up and realize, hey, this world's a bit spiritual. And now we go and say, hey, Jesus, I want to get to know You more. Because you start to really see this revelation of the Spirit everywhere. And because of you wanting to get to know the author of that Spirit, He now imparts to you an understanding of His ways, which means now He's going to start to teach you by the Spirit about how He works and who He is and what He does. By the Spirit, when you come into agreement with the author of the Spirit. But if you're coming into agreement, if you're seeing the revelation of the Spirit everywhere and you start to want to use all your knowledge, I know how that works and I know all this and I've got all the deep secret knowledge and teachings here and there and whatever, and you just refuse to follow that, Him, He will let you go with that knowledge and you'll go as far as that knowledge is ever going to take you, which is nowhere. You're never going to be completely full and filled if you continue just to try to follow knowledge to work out God. It's not going to happen, but He's good and merciful and He gives it to you anyway because that's what you choose, right? Because He doesn't want you to serve Him if that's how you are. Go. You don't get Him. That's how it is. Simple as that. You're not going to get Him. You want to be rebellious? You don't want to follow Him from because you want to know Him from your heart? You just want to know about all about it so you can go and preach it and teach it and have all the knowledge and look like you're so spiritual? Then go! Because He doesn't have people follow Him like that. That's what Satan does. He only has people follow Him if they love Him. Truly. Because you're not going to spend eternity with someone you don't love. Right? We love Him, so we obey Him. We do His commandments. We follow His ways. We want to know Him because we love Him. And then we love those who He sends to us. And then we love His people. We love His vision. We love His church. We love His bride. We love everybody. Because we love Him and love now comes through us. Because we serve through love. Not just by having all the knowledge. It's a literal commitment to Jesus and Jesus alone. No other knowledge of any other spirit. So He reveals Himself through everything. All things, He reveals it. Now we go, wow, Jesus, we follow Him in parts because we want to follow Him only. We don't go after anything else. We go after Him only. And when we do that, that's when He imparts to us a deep understanding of His ways. And then, this will enable you. I love this. He says, now, once you get a deep understanding of My ways, now this is going to enable you to choose the most excellent way of all. To choose those things that bring contentment. So now you get to make a choice. You get an understanding of the way of the Lord, but now you get to still choose if you're going to choose the most excellent way or not. And still, even some people that get that deep revelation don't choose the most excellent way. They still want to play little stuff over here and there and they miss it. Okay. So you choose the most excellent way of all. Becoming pure without offense. We become pure without offense. So there's a process of it. So we're becoming pure. We become pure without offense. So wherever there's offense, there's no purity. Wherever we're offended at something or someone, And it's always the anointing that they're offended at. Always the anointing. And the thing is, every time we become offended, we're taking away from God's sovereignty, right? Because if he's a sovereign God above and all over all things, and he's in creation and in and through all things, and then we become offended at people, then we're not giving him that sovereignty, that sovereign authority. We're saying those people are the ones in control, and they're choosing what they're doing, right? And he's the sovereign God. Okay, they can rebel and they can choose to follow the ways of that, but he has the overall sovereignty, so he allows everything. And this is where Jesus walked. He didn't get any, and it says that the religious people got offended at Jesus. It was always the religious that got offended at the anointing. The religious are offended by the anointing because the anointing is God, right? I want you to know, no. Becoming pure without offense until the unveiling of Christ, okay? Pure without offense until the unveiling of Christ. And this is the unveiling of the day of his appearing, it says. God, I've spat like how many times? Absolutely. And you will be filled completely with the fruits of righteousness that are found in Jesus the Anointed One, bringing great praise and glory to God. So when Jesus walked, everybody, people conspired against him. The religious conspired against him. People didn't want to obey him. And I think I read somewhere where, you know, James at first didn't want to follow Jesus. As his brother, he was like offended by him until later he became a disciple. I'm pretty sure that is it. And I'll correct it later, but I am certain that that is somehow how it went. And it just sounds the right way. I mean, that's how people are, you know, in families. Families don't want to do what the other person in the family saying. Nobody wants to help each other out. Everyone wants to be their own boss. Everyone wants to do their own thing. Nobody wants to do what Jesus says. Everybody wants to do their own thing. So that's why families divide. That's why families break up. That's why churches and congregations and groups and communities fall apart, because everybody wants to be the chief. Nobody wants to be the Indian. Nobody wants to follow. Everyone wants to lead. So we've got all these leaders and no followers, right? Nobody building or doing what they're meant to be doing. Everybody wants to tell everybody else. So there's got to be great order and great authority, but not everybody has that same role, you know? But everybody's filled with God, and he's the author, he's the kingship, he's the leader, he's the lordship. We're not under these false authorities in the churches who are putting themselves up as leaders, and they're the ones who are choosing the leaders out of the group because they have the right qualifications, the better talent, the better skill. They're going to make the most money for the church. It has to be done by God and ordained by God. And the thing is, the delusion and the deception is so strong that they even think that what they're doing is God. So they don't even know that there is a spiritual anointing that leads and builds and conquers and rules from heaven by the anointing, by the Spirit. It's a spiritual discipleship. So you're not under obligation only to Jesus, and then he will make known your obligations. When you completely submit your heart, your will, and you nurture the thing that he's given you to do, even no matter how hard it is, it's a complete submission and a constant humbling of yourself, because as you continue to grow, you're going to learn more stuff. You're going to learn. You're going to be filled with revelation. That's why Paul had a thorn in his side, because it was a tormentor of Satan, you know, because it kept him humble, because he was filled with so much revelation and so much wisdom that if he didn't have something there to continuously keep him humbled, he would get so puffed up because he had all this knowledge of God, right? So he was constantly humbled, and it kept him low in humility. And people will serve people like that because they're humble. They're not trying to create their own following. They're not trying to force themselves onto people, right? They're just leading by the Spirit. And when you lead by the Spirit will use you in a way that will bring other people into the kingdom, but not bring them in through forcing them to love Jesus. They'll come in because they love Jesus, and then they'll love those who are leading them. And it's a proper love, a real love, not a love just because, you know, you got bought everything you wanted that week. You know, like a little kid that gets spoiled all the time and you buy them everything they want to have and you just spoil and rotten so they'll like you or they'll love you. It's done with wisdom. That's the Spirit of wisdom. It's Jesus, right? He knows how to do it. So he builds his church by the Spirit. This is the spiritual church. And it's a marriage, and it's a commitment, a spiritual commitment that's constantly done through your body to the Lord inside of your body. This isn't just a, you know, 5 minutes on Sunday and 3 minutes on Wednesday and just a couple of things here and there. This is a literal emptying out of yourself and an infilling of himself. And your thoughts are now his thoughts. Your mind, you have the mind of Christ. You're completely in submission to the Spirit of God. You go where he goes and you say what he says. And you're used for your body is now for his purpose. And no matter what that looks like, you do it anyway. You don't change the message. You don't water it down. You don't tell people what they want to hear so everyone feels comfortable and okay like the world does. Everyone's trying to get everyone to change the laws. I mean, how many times are they changing legislation because one person or a little group get offended about something? So let's change it so it fits everybody. You're never going to make it happen. Nobody is always going to. It's never going to work. You'll never be able to change the law enough for everyone to be happy. Because if you do that, then the next group aren't happy about something, and then it goes down the generation, and it's spoiling the whole tree. It's spoiling the whole system. Because the generations now coming underneath are like, well, we want it like this, and we want it like that, and we want it like this, right? They're all serving why you're all serving the gods of your fathers, which is whatever they've told you to serve, then you're still rejecting the only one that can serve you perfectly. He's a servant God. He comes in to serve your needs, and you serve him with your body as a temple of the living God. You are a whole body. Your body is filled with Christ himself. The only life-giving spirit, the only one that actually gives you life, right? So when this skin comes off, your body is a complete angel that lives forever because you have Christ in you. The whole body is Christ. Take the skin off and there's Jesus, right? I want to know, dear ones, what's happened to me hasn't hindered me, but it's helped the ministry preaching, da da da. For now, you know, look, this is him not whinging about being in jail. And he says, and what I'm going through has actually caused many believers to become fearless, bold, and passionate to preach the manifestation of God. All because of my chains, okay? So someone there that is so submitted and controlled by Jesus. You know, that's what Paul was like. He was just completely controlled by Jesus, and he preached the gospel no matter what. He had to go to jail. They threw him in jail, and he preached the gospel there, and he got officials and governmental people saved. Wherever he went, he saw it as an opportunity to preach the manifestation of God, to tell them that Jesus is the Lord. All he could say is that. There was no other words he was able to say. He was continuously used that way because that's God in him, and that's what he does, and that's what he says, or who I am. I am, I am. Right? I am, I am. I am. And it's true, there are some who preach Christ out of competition and controversy. Okay, so here they're trying to compete and be controversial, for they are jealous over the way God has used me. Many others have purer motives. They preach with grace and love filling their hearts because they know I've ordained them for the purpose of preaching the revelation of God. For those who preach Christ with ambition and competition are insincere. They just want to add to the harsh hardships of my imprisonment, but he says he's still happy because at least Christ is being preached anyway. Even though they're not doing it perfectly or they're doing it with the wrong motives or wrong intentions, at least Christ is being preached, okay? But it doesn't mean everyone go and do that. It means everybody here who's listening to this is serious about a real commitment with God, who want to be fully filled with the Holy Spirit, who want to be completely overflowing with his power. And that comes from a complete submission to Christ as the teacher, as the anointed teacher who will tell you the way of the kingdom. And the way of the kingdom is through humility and by telling the truth. Even if it's going to offend every person around you, you have to say the truth. You cannot water it down. You can't just say it so it's going to sound nice for people. You can't say it just because, you know, I mean, if you're going to lose things because of it, I mean, Paul lost everything. He's sitting in a jail cell writing these books, these half of the New Testament from a jail cell, right? They tried to come at him from every angle to try to hurt him, destroy him, divide him, remove his supporters, remove his support, right? He wouldn't have a lot of support because people were getting filled with lies constantly and pulled out. Oh, I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to serve him, right? And how do you you're serving somebody that's in jail when if your model of, you know, a leader is wanting somebody on the big platform with all the bells and the whistles, then, you know, if they're the only people that you see as authority in Christ, then that he'll let you go for that. You know, and you'll be without power, you'll be without the manifestation of Christ comes through those who are low and humble, and they're not seeking their own followers, but they've been put there. It's always an image of Paul. Look at Paul. You sit there humbly. He wrote the New Testament. He wrote these letters to the church with no audience, right? He's writing the words of God. There's no audience. There's no support. There's nothing. And he's doing it from his prison cell. You know? And when the letter came to the church, they read it out loud and everybody listened because they wanted the wisdom of Paul. You know? Paul. So no offense. And authority and submission and obedience to the Holy Spirit, obedience to the words of God, obedience to God's kingdom, which means obedience to the Spirit of God. It's not just speaking words that sound like they're love. It's not just speaking words or doing kind acts, or it's not having all the right information. It's a literal heart submission, a literal falling in love. A literal surrender of your whole entire body to the King of Glory. And he disciplines us, right? He reveals to us first what he expects. And then we get a choice if we're going to do that or not. And are we going to, knowledge, it can be used for good or evil, right? Good or evil? I'm so hot. Dripping here, it's so hot. Knowledge can be used for good or evil. And so you've got knowledge that people will use it for good. They can have all the knowledge and then they can go and use it for what? Evil. What's evil? Disobeying God, right? Disobeying God, not doing the will of God, not doing the thing he's called you to do, not following, not listening, wanting to go and do my own thing. So because you've got all the knowledge and you know that you can go do it, you can just go and do this, you can go and do that because you know how to do it, right? Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that, but can anybody follow the Lord fully? Can anybody really commit their lives in all of their life, full submission to God, and really follow Him? I don't know. Can anyone do that? And really sit at the feet of Jesus and get His words and get His teachings. Not like Martha was out there doing her own thing and trying to work, you know, and figure it all out. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and she just received His teachings continuously. And what did that do? That allowed her to go all the way to the end of the gospel, really. It let her follow Jesus all the way, and she fulfilled the will of God because she continued to receive His teachings. She stayed with Jesus the whole way and learned His teachings. Learned His teachings and went with Him. And she fulfilled His will and committed her life to fulfilling the will of God. I mean, he had the words of life. Where else are you going to go? I mean, what else are you going to listen to? What else are you going to do? What else are you going to do? You're going to fulfill the words that Jesus gives you, and you're going to do that. Oh, let's just have a break. So I'm going to stop talking for a minute. Just get distracted here. Holy Spirit. For a minute. Let's get the break. Oh, gosh. Whew. Sorry. Just had to go and see my naughty kids. Woohoo! The Bride of Christ. Yeah. Just saw a vision earlier in worship of the bride just running towards Jesus. Just running toward, and He was just waiting patiently. And the bride's running towards Him, right? And she's holding up her dress, and here she is just running towards Him. And that's just the image, that's the image of the true bride just coming to Jesus to say, "Here I am. I give You my whole life. I'll submit to wherever You put me, right? I'll listen to whatever it is that You want me to listen to. I won't choose it." And I refuse to be offended. And every time that offense comes in, humble yourself and say, "I'm not going to submit to offense because it's bad for me and it keeps me in rebellion." And every time we do that, it puts a blockage up and the Spirit can't flow in that area. And you have no authority in that area now, and you won't be able to set people free. The only time that you get authority and the only time you can actually help people is if you're going to surrender yourself, okay, if you come through it. But if you want to be over here doing your own thing, that's where your followers are going that way, right? And soon enough, if you're going to lead them to hell, they're not going to come with you, right? And you end up lonely by yourself. Nobody wants to go that way. And that's where it looks like, you know, Satan's kingdom. You see the children of disobedience everywhere. They want to do their own thing. They don't want to follow, you know, the right way, the right path. They want to do their own thing. They don't want to be disciplined. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be told who to listen to. They just want to be in charge by themselves. They don't want anyone to help them. They don't want any help whatsoever. Kids fighting. have a PlayStation control. And so it looks like you have free will, because Satan doesn't come and correct you in why you're in that stuff. He lets you there. And as soon as the Lord comes with the teachings of Jesus to try to correct you, so to pull you out of that, to say, hey, that's not it, this is the way, Satan will come in to try to say, don't do that. Oh, and give you all the knowledge about why you don't need to go that way. Right? And Jesus will let you. Because he won't have people serving out that way. He'll only have you serving from the heart. He'll only let you come in through the heart if it's real, if you really want him. Right? You can have all the appearance that you're doing it, but if it's not by the heart, and so if it's not by the heart, who are you listening to? Where are you eating? Right? Where are you trying? You're trying to get it from the outside and not from the inside. And you can only get it from the inside if you're willing to submit and humbly listen to somebody who's walked it, who has been through it, like Jesus, right? And then Jesus puts himself inside of people so we can listen and learn. And then you've got to discern, you know, is it bringing your heart to Jesus in a marriage covenant where you're just transformed? Or is it just making it all okay on the outside, full of knowledge, right? And you see the children of disobedience, you see them full of all types of problems and sin and delusion and addiction. You know, I've seen demons come out of people. You know, I've seen them be delivered from demons. I've seen the demons come up through their faces and manifest out of their faces as soon as you mention the name of Jesus, right? And then they're loose and they come out, and that person's standing there like, what just happened? They didn't even know they had a demon all those years that was making them do all those things, making them stay in relationships and getting bashed up every day of her life. She didn't even know she had a demon in her. Because the demon deceives and deludes, and it stays in there. You don't even know you've lived with it for so long. You've just become accustomed to that lifestyle until the Lord comes and casts that thing out of you. And then all of a sudden you realize, wow, I've lived my life like this the whole way because I've been deceived by Satan. And now you've got an understanding, and now you get to choose, am I going to choose the way of excellence, or am I going to go and live this way? You don't need all these steps. You can have a listen to other people, because what it does is it helps you to understand and relate and realize, like, hey, you know, you can, for your knowledge, for your brain, you learn something. But the Spirit is what sets you free. And it's the Spirit that comes, cast the devil out, and then all of a sudden you realize, like, hang on, what am I doing? I shouldn't have been living like this, right? But Satan doesn't cast Satan out. He leaves him in there. So it can keep you trapped and living that life you want to live, right? He wants it all perverted, sleeping with everyone, no commitment, running off doing the things that you want to do. That's what he does. Trying to transform you from all on the outside, but nothing on the inside. Satan will give you everything to transform you from the outside, because that's all he's got. He can't transform your heart, because he doesn't have one. He can't transform and give you a spirit that's going to transform your life, because he's not a life-giving spirit. He's dead. So he will give you everything from the outside, but you will remain feeling dead inside. You'll know there's still something missing. No matter how hard I try, no matter how good everything feels from the outside, there's still something missing on the inside, and that's Jesus. He's the answer. Doesn't matter what the question is, he comes in and he fills it. All the knowledge of the Spirit, all the knowledge of everything else will never give you that fulfilling feeling, fulfillment of him inside of you, that literally gives you life and full revelation and understanding. Thank you, God, for it. Alrighty. So don't be offended. Blessed are those who are not offended by me, says the Lord. Blessed are those who can just receive and know the way of the Lord, get the understanding, the impartation, and then go with it, and then choose the way of excellence. Once the impartation of understanding comes, choose that way of excellence, and you'll be led straight into the heart of God and set free from all torment. There's no more trying to do it on your own. There's no more trying to do it by yourself. He'll bring the right people around you. Right? He'll teach you perfectly. He will lead you perfectly. And you'll go through stuff and you will suffer. It's not a free, like, just a blessing, blessing, blessing every single week. Like, everything's just perfectly honky-dory. It's a true commitment and a surrendering of your life to receive life. Right? Your life, you give it and He gives you His life. So just read the Bible. Look at the ways of Jesus. Look how He lived His life. It's all about humble submission to the Father. He submitted His entire life to the Father. Yes, Father, I'll do Your will, whatever that looks like, no matter what it costs me. It's always yes, Father. Amen. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. And we'll speak to you all